You're listening to The Kelly Joe Show on Talk Jive Radio, a Damned In production, distributed by the Institute for Native Arts and Media, a 501c3 nonprofit organization based in Norman, Oklahoma. The views and opinions expressed in the show are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect those of the INAM organization. Welcome, welcome. Get your head out of bed. It's election day and you got to go vote. We all got to go vote. I still have to go vote, but not waiting till the last possible minute. Excuse me, but I do like to kind of be in the middle, go around noonish, so I can kind of see where I'm at. To me, I can kind of think about, you know, not that it really means anything, but to wonky people, I mean, and we're going to talk to Dr. Crow later today. And like, we know, like, you can tell, like, if I'm around 80 at noon, then they're probably not gonna have a huge turnout. And then sometimes I like to wait till like 3-ish or so, just to wait and see. But I never know how many people are gonna go vote and get off work when they get off work. I just, you know, and in this, it's such a precarious thing right now. And I, of course, in anticipation of all of this, like, some people like prep for the Super Bowl like this, or now don't get me wrong, if the OU football team was in the national championship, like, yeah, I'm watching all the coverage, days of it. Yeah, I'm watching all the retrospectives. I'm watching all the, you know, all of the biographies. I'm even watching the shit on Texas, like the Ricky Williams story, which is fascinating, by the way. And don't think that I wouldn't smoke a big old fat Austin torpedo with him any day of the week. So Ricky Williams, you can call me on that, sir. But I just lost my train of thought. But yeah, so it's like this. Elections are kind of like that. It's my Super Bowl. And I've been watching coverage for days. I know I've been talking about it for days. And just a lot of things come to light. You know, obviously it's politics and it's a dirty game. I don't really know if it's dirtier because the waters are murkier, and because the waters are murkier, it's more acceptable. There's a dirtier, a greater acceptance of dirt. Like, the level of dirt can be higher because the water is murkier. I'm not exactly, I don't know, but that's what our political climate feels like. There is so much angst. There's so much anxiety with this. And I mean, so I wanted to find out who the early vote states were. And fortunately, MSNBC, who has my boyfriend Steve Kornacki, and they have the Kornacki countdown, and I hope they keep that. I hope he gets a show. I don't know, but I love that man, and he deserves it. He deserves a show, MSNBC. But they said that Oklahoma had 199,168 early voters. That's astounding. That's astounding. And when you look at this nationwide, I mean, there are, I'm trying to like write down all these statistics and write down all these numbers because I am a nerd like that. Yes, I've got it all broken down by states, how many people voted early, how, for instance, this is my wonky ways. So out of 50 states, there are 4 states that didn't have any early data whatsoever. And that was Alabama, Mississippi, and Missouri. And please keep in mind, I did look at places like Rhode Island, for example, doesn't have any early data, but that's because they keep the polls open every day. Like, they early vote on Monday. Oklahoma didn't early vote on Monday. Rhode Island, they keep their polls open. They make it so easy to vote. When I was researching some of these, the early numbers in some of these states, It was astounding to see some of the rules that different states have surrounding early voting. It's fascinating. It's fascinating to me, I tell you. But, you know, Wyoming, for example, they only had around 19,000 early voters. Oh, I'm sorry, 14,717 voters did Wyoming. And so there are five states that have abortion measures to codify abortion, to protect it, to dismantle it, to dismantle rights, whatever. However, the ballots are worded. And you've really got to watch how they're worded. Sometimes it's for when you really mean no. And that's by design. That's confusing by design. And that's one of the reasons we encourage folks to look at the ballots early. And at this point, you know what? Go down there. And if you got to read it, read it. Just get down there and vote. But five states, Michigan, Kentucky, Montana, California, and Vermont, all have ballot measures to their state citizens. Now, Illinois is the only state that has full protection in almost all of the Midwest. Kansas does have some protections. In Kansas, Kansas codified their abortion access. But if this fails in Kentucky and it's vetoed in North Carolina, women aren't going to have safe abortion access, safe health care in the entire southeastern seaboard. So there is a lot at stake here. Redistricting, gerrymandering. Here in Oklahoma, gerrymandering is a huge thing. We had one of our Democratic districts here in western Oklahoma gerrymandered this way because in 17 states, Republicans got to redistrict redraw their district lines. So they got to gerrymander the hell out of it, right? However they wanted. It's no different here in Oklahoma. And that happened to us, as opposed to seven Democratic governors and legislatures getting to redistrict in their states. So that's a very sharp, sharp right turn. We knew it was coming. We've seen it. And this is the result of not getting out and voting and taking this seriously earlier, and people just not paying attention or just buying into all of this misinformation. It's really a scary, scary thing. But all 435 House seats are up. Think about that. 435 House seats are up, all of them. And so one of the things that I look at and I'm hearing, and we hear red wave, blue wave, blah, 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 blah. I think what people aren't realizing is, I mean, every seat is up for grab. There are, how many did they say? 36 seats that are uncontested across the United States. 36 seats. So there's only going to be 36 people within that 435 who are just going to go straight through. Now, I don't know if they were incumbents. I don't know if you know what their story is. That's just what the numbers are. That's just what the numbers tell us. And so, see, this is why me and Steve Kornacki would be such a great freaking couple. Telling me, we just sit here and talk politics and be all wonky. And I mean, we're probably both really socially awkward, but not so awkward that we can't carry on a conversation in front of millions of people. Thank you. I'm telling you, Steve, give me a ring. So there are 332 first time House candidates. So out of that 435, 332 are brand spanking new candidates, never ran before. 199 of those are election deniers. And 70% of Trump-backed candidates either deny or question the 2020 results. 70%. 70% of that. So like around 140 candidates are election deniers there. And we have them right here in Oklahoma. Marquain Mullen, he's running for Inhofe seat, expiring term, him and Kendra Horn. And so, you know, he's an election denier, even though he was in the House chamber, even though he was right there, he's like, that's what I don't get. Like, he should be the one guy, like, in Law and Order, like, the Republicans are not, I repeat, are not the party of Law and Order anymore. I like while I don't necessarily agree with defund the police, I think to reallocate resources to make everything more efficient for not just law enforcement officers, but for all responsibilities of government, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with saying that. It's just this crazy twist on these words and flat out misinformation, like flat out. Like, they know it's wrong. They know that what they're telling you is not true. And it's just, it's wholly believed. They did this whole story about misinformation in Florida to the Latino community and how people know that they're deliberately misleading them, but they don't care because they want them to vote a certain way. Republican, of course. But it's just, it's really scary. But what's heartening is there are a lot of people getting involved, as you can tell with the early vote. There are 35 Senate seats up for grabs. 30, so a third, a little over a third, 35% of our Senate seats are up. Here's some other things, some social justice issues, if you will, that are on the ballot. So LGBTQ candidates, there's an LGBTQ plus candidate running in all 50 states. How's that? I mean, I was thrilled. I'm so glad that's representation, that's having a voice across the country, and good luck to those candidates. I mean, good on you. And there are 5 states that are trying to legalize recreational marijuana: Arkansas, Missouri, Maryland, North Dakota, and South Dakota. And so those are, again, good on you. That means, and here in Oklahoma, like, this is something Governor Pretendian didn't allow it on this particular ballot because they were circle jerking around and didn't let it get on the ballot. And now they set a special election for March 7th. So here in Oklahoma, March 7th is the date that voters are going to go to the polls to vote to see if we legalize recreational marijuana by ballot. And so March 7th, they have made that completely harder, by the way, to get ballot initiatives up before the Oklahoma voters. That is a lot harder to do now. And we talk about rights and we talk about freedoms. Well, these are everyday freedoms that we just take for granted, and the fact that we can engage our government. And what happens now? I mean, you used to be able to go and your representative would sit and talk to you and, you know, get tours and all that good stuff. And they come and talk to your school and all that good stuff. Now They don't want to talk to anybody. They give 10-minute town halls. It's like, oh, we're going to stop here. We're going to be here for 10 minutes. I'm going to give my speech and I'm going to leave. And nobody gets to question me about anything. Not even their own constituents, not even their own fundraisers who get these things together, you know, get these swanky Swadley's barbecue catered, you know, events together and don't even stay. Like that whole Swadley's thing, like y'all... Kevin Stitt needs to be voted out just for that. Just for his wife wrecking all of the OHP vehicles. Just for all of his mishandling of fun, like you name it. Like, we're just not in a good space with him. And I can say that. And I just did. We have just simply gone to the bottom like we had, you know, had... bringing an albatross around our collective necks here in Oklahoma. And the special interests have got stronger. Private schools have gotten stronger. Cronyism has gotten stronger. And that's all because of this leadership. And we just won't survive. There are 36 gubernatorial races across the country. 36. So 2/3 of the United States. Their governors are running. That's an interesting one. Speaking of that, right now there are 28 Republican governors and 22 Democratic governors. So 14 of those guys are keeping their seats and watching from the cheap seats, so to speak. But it's going to be interesting who we as a society, as a as a country, what direction are we going in? We have the power to shift this and to change it and to mold it, or we can just continue to go down the toilet with it. There are 37 states that have 132 ballot measures between them. That's significant. No telling what these ballot measures are for in these different states. So it's like I said, oh, and there's, the poll watchers. I forgot to talk about the poll watchers. The Department of Justice is sending 64 poll watchers to 24 states, federal poll watchers, to make sure there's no shenanigans, because people have been, getting terrorized and harassed at early voting polling sites. Woo, that was a mouthful. And that's just not right. Y'all, that's just not right. And they don't want people harassing them when they're voting. So just, and do those people even vote? That's what I always want to know, is these people who harass and all that. It's kind of like the people in the military who were never in the military, but they act like they were in the military, and you would swear that they were in the military. And some of them say they're in the military even, but they're not. It's like kind of like that. So it happens. It's bullshit, but you know, that's why you got to call these things out. That's why you got to call it out. And I mean, y'all, there were 5,492,902 early voters in Texas. That's just astounding to me. And it's like I said, this feels like Christmas Day. It feels like Christmas. Feels like everything that's been leading up to this is just, you know, yeah, yeah, yeah. The day is here. Now we can start seeing the numbers. And we're not going to know anything today. That's the thing too. Like for the most part, like there are these key races that we're not going to know anything today, but here in Oklahoma, we're going to know. We're going to know what the deal is. They've got such a stranglehold on us when it comes to early voting, and the way we don't even get to vote on Monday. We don't even get to vote early the day before, and we used to. Memory serves, we used to be able to vote on Wednesday too, but that's just been whittled away. And you talk about losing your rights. You talk about losing the very things that make the United States democracy for better or worse. And I know there's a lot of Indians out there like just rolling your eyes at my excitement for all of this. But, you know, even if you don't trust the United States government, which I don't, and even if you really can't stand their policies, which also, you know, me, you still have an obligation to participate in it. Because if you don't, all of their policies that affect your daily life, all of these things that are crushing us, that comes down to voting. And you got to also remember too, and I really want to stress this, because I think if we as Indians kind of schooled our non-native counterparts about government and about how it is, like you got to give a new administration needs 2 to 4 to 6 years to start getting shit straightened out, depending on your level of, you know, how fucked up your government is. Even at its best, even as a well-oiled machine, you're still looking at least 2 years for everything to be implemented, for the new administration to come in and get their people set and get their things going and have to work with new people all around and probably newly elected people. And, you know, if our non-native counterparts knew how to recall and how to do all of this stuff like Indians do, like, I'm telling you, that's one thing about Indians. I mean, we all hate government, but we all know how to recall our business leaders. we like know our constitutions. Like, half the people don't give a shit about the U.S. Constitution, but bring it to the Pawnee Constitution, and then we're, you know, people that you never thought would debate have a lot of things to say, and that's how Indians are. That's how we are. Ask them Kiowas. Ask Kiowas. Like, there's Kiowas the same way. Don't know lick of nothing from the U.S. Constitution except where it calls us merciless Indian savages. But knows how to navigate the Kiowa Constitution every which way but loose. So it's like I said, it's a beautiful day. I'm getting ready because it's like I said, it's going to be a late night. It's full of excitement, and I am so glad that you are here hanging out with me. You've been listening to The Kelly Jo Show, a Damn Indian production, distributed by the Institute for Native Arts and Media. The views and opinions expressed in this show are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect those of the INAM organization. For more information or to donate, email nativeartsandmediainstitute@gmail.com. You can always catch past episodes of all shows wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much for your support.